anything and everything.
Do you ever wonder how to? Do you ever wonder why?
About anything and everything. Then Doris is your guide. Anything and everything will open your mind. Anything and everything with Doris. Anything and everything with Doris is online. Remember.
Remember.
Anything and everything with Doris.
Hello everyone, you are listening to Anything and Everything, and I'm your host, Doris. This episode is brought to you by the Louisiana Entertainment Association, and you can check them out on their Facebook page as the Louisiana Entertainment Association. Hello everyone, do you enjoy reading stories about people who came from humble beginnings or hardships that society wouldn't expect very much from, and yet they wind up being a great contribution to society? This month, we recognize George Washington Carver for the important role he contributed to the world. George Washington Carver was born a slave during the Civil War, somewhere around 1865, but there are no records to confirm the exact date. Just a few weeks after his birth, his father, who belonged to the next farm over, was killed in a log hauling accident. Shortly after the Civil War, bushwhackers from the Democratic South kidnapped infant George with his mother and sister. Moses Carver sent friends to track down the thieves and trade his best horse to find them and bring them back home. The thieves had abandoned baby George lying on the ground, sick with the whooping cough, an illness which permanently affected his vocal cords and kept him from walking until the age of 3. George never saw his mother and sister again. Illness claimed the lives of his 2 other sisters, and they were buried on a Carver farm. George and his older brother Jim were raised in Diamond Grove, Missouri, by Uncle Moses and Aunt Sue Carver, a childless German immigrant couple. Jim died of smallpox, and George suffered from poor health as a child. He stayed near the house, helping with chores, learning to cook, clean, sew, mend, and wash laundry, skills that he would later use to support himself. He would entertain himself in the woods in his spare time, just as many children do today. The Carvers supported George's decision to leave home to attend school in Neosho, Missouri. He paid his own tuition by doing odd jobs. In the intervening years, George Carver traveled from Missouri to Kansas, then to Iowa, working as a cook and doing laundry. He studied at Simpson College, then received a bachelor's and master's degree from Iowa State Agricultural Institute, where he was hired as a teacher. In the spring of 1896, Booker T. Washington invited George Washington Carver to teach in Alabama. The offer read, "Tuskegee Institute seeks to provide education, a means for survival to those who attend. Our students are poor, often starving. They travel miles of torn roads across years of poverty. We teach them to read and write, but words cannot fill stomachs. They need to learn how to plant and harvest crops. I cannot offer you money, position, or fame. The first two you have. The last, from the place you now occupy, you will no doubt achieve. These things I now ask you to give up. I offer you in their place work, hard, hard work, the challenge of bringing people from degradation, poverty, and waste to full manhood." On May 16th, 1896, George Washington Carver responded to Booker T. Washington, "My dear sir, I am just in receipt of yours of the 13th Institute and hasten to reply. I am looking forward to a very busy, pleasant, and profitable time at your college and shall be glad to cooperate with you in all I can through Christ who strengthened me to better the condition of our people. Some months ago, I read your stirring address delivered at Chicago, and I said amen to all you said. Furthermore, you have the correct solution to the race problem. Providence permitting, I'll be there in November. God bless you and your work. Signed, George W. Carver." Booker T. Washington's solution of the race problem was to gain respect through economic independence, the path taken by every wave of immigrants. For example, German, Irish, Jewish, Polish, Italian, Asian, and others. Immigrants arrived at the bottom of the social ladder and were often met with racial discrimination. They would work hard, get educated, start businesses, and pool their resources. As they accumulated wealth and made positive contributions to society, they rose in society, gaining public respect. Booker T. Washington stated, "At the bottom, there must be for our race, as for all races, economic prosperity, economic independence. Political independence disappears without economic independence." He recommended they concentrate all their energies on industrial education, an accumulation of wealth, and a conciliation of the South. Blacks would eventually gain full participation in society by showing themselves to be responsible, reliable American citizens. In 1896, George Washington Carver surprised the staff at Iowa State College by announcing his plans to give up his promising future there and accept Booker T. Washington's offer to teach at Tuskegee Institute. The staff at Iowa State showed their appreciation by purchasing Carver a going-away present, a microscope, which he used extensively throughout his career. George assembled an agricultural department at Tuskegee. He visited nearby farmers and would teach them farming techniques such as crop rotation, fertilization, and erosion prevention. Carver noticed that the soil was depleted due to years of repeated cotton growth and produced very poorly. During this time, an insect called the boll weevil swept through the South, destroying cotton crops and leaving farmers devastated. George showed the farmers the benefits of the crop rotation and planting legumes, such as peanuts, which replenished the soil with nitrogen. Farmers heeded Carver's advice, but soon had more peanuts than the market wanted, as peanuts were primarily used as animal feed. It was the very reason why George became determined to find more uses for the peanut to increase the market for them. Carver is credited with discovering and or popularizing hundreds of uses for the peanut soybean, sweet potato, pecan, cowpea, wild plum, and okra, which helped to revolutionize the South's economy. A list of partial items derived from peanuts was compiled by the Carver Museum at Tuskegee. Beverages such as blackberry, cherry, lemon, orange, and peanut punch, beverages for ice cream, evaporated peanut beverage, dry coffee, instant coffee, 32 different kinds of milk, dehydrated milk flakes, and even buttermilk. Foods such as peanut butter, salted peanuts, peanut flour, peanut flakes, peanut meal, cream from peanut milk, butter from peanut milk, egg yolk, breakfast food, bisque powder, cheese, cream cheese, cheese pimento, cheese sandwich, cheese tutti frutti, cocoa, crystallized peanuts, curds, granulated potatoes, potato nibs, mock coconut, pancake flour, peanut hearts, peanut surprise, peanut wafers, pickles, sweet pickles, shredded peanuts, and substitute asparagus. Yes, he's responsible for all of that. George Washington Carver addressed Congress and met with Presidents Teddy Roosevelt, Calvin Coolidge, and Franklin Roosevelt. He was offered jobs by Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, and received correspondence from business and world leaders, including Harvey Kellogg, Gandhi, and Stalin. In 1928, Dr. Carver stated, "Human need is really a great spiritual vacuum which God seeks to fill. With one hand in the hand of a fellow man in need, and the other hand in the hand of Christ, he could get across the vacuum." Then the passage, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," came to have real meaning. In the summer of 1920, the Young Men's Christian Association of Blue Ridge, North Carolina, invited Professor Carver to speak at their summer school for Southern states. Dr. Willis D. Weatherford, president of Blue Ridge, introduced him as the speaker. With his high voice surprising the audience, Dr. Carver exclaimed humorously, "I always look forward to introductions as opportunities to learn something about myself." He continued, "Years ago, I went into my laboratory and said, 'Dear Mr. Creator, please tell me what the universe was made for.' The great Creator answered, 'You want to know too much for that little mind of yours. Ask for something more your size, little man.' Then I asked, "Please, Mr. Creator, tell me what man was made for." Again, the great creator replied, "You're still asking too much. Cut down on the extent and improve the intent." So then I asked, "Please, Mr. Creator, will you tell me why the peanut was made?" "That's better. But even then, it's infinite. What do you want to know about the peanut?" "Mr. Creator, can I make milk out of the peanut?" "Well, what kind of milk do you want? Good Jersey milk or just plain boarding house milk?" "Good Jersey milk." And then the creator taught me to take the peanut apart and put it together again. And out of the process have come forth all these products. Among the numerous products displayed was a bottle of Good Jersey milk. 3.5 ounces of peanuts produced 1 pint of rich milk, or 1 quart of raw skim milk, called Boarding House Blue John milk. On November 19, 1924, Carver spoke to over 500 people at the Woman's Board of Domestic Missions. "God is going to reveal to us things He never revealed before if we put our hands in His. No books ever go into my laboratory. The thing I am to do and the way are revealed to me the moment I am inspired to create something new. Without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless. Only alone can I draw close enough to God to discover His secrets." On March 24, 1925, Carver wrote to Robert Johnson, an employee of Chesley Enterprises of Ontario, "Thank God I love humanity. Complexion doesn't interest me one single bit." Though from a disadvantaged background, George did not let this pull him down into self-pity, bitterness, or yielding to a hateful victimhood mentality. On March 1, 1927, George W. Carver wrote to Jack Boyd, a YMCA official in Denver, Colorado, "My beloved friend, keep your hand in that of the Master. Walk daily by His side so that you may lead others into the realms of true happiness, where a religion of hate, which poisons both body and soul, will be unknown, having in its place the golden rule, which is the Jesus way of life, will reign supreme. Then we can walk and talk with Jesus momentarily, because we will be attuned to His will and wishes. God, my beloved friend, is infinite, the highest embodiment of love. We are finite, surrounded and often filled with hate. We can only understand the infinite as we lose the finite and take on the infinite." This was also the attitude of Booker T. Washington, who wrote in Up from Slavery in 1901, "It has now long ago that I learned this lesson from General Samuel Chapman Armstrong and resolved that I would permit no man, no matter what his color might be, to narrow and degrade my soul by making me hate him. With God's help, I believe that I have completely rid myself of any ill feeling toward a southern white man for anything wrong that he may have inflicted upon my race. I am made to feel just as happy now when I am rendering service to southern white men as when the service is rendered to a member of my own race. I pity from the bottom of my heart any individual who is so unfortunate as to get into the habit of holding race prejudice." On July 10, 1924, George Washington Carver wrote to James Hardwick, "God cannot use you as He wishes until you come into the fullness of His glory. Do not get alarmed, my friend, when doubts creep in. That is old Satan. Pray, pray, pray. Oh, my friend, I am praying that God will come in and rid you entirely of self so you can go out after souls, right? Or rather have souls seek the Christ in you. This is my prayer for you always." George Washington Carver died January 5th, 1943, and he is buried next to Booker T. Washington on the grounds of Tuskegee University in Alabama. Did you notice that even though he had a rough start in life, he didn't assume he couldn't go far? He kept his faith and asked God for guidance when he needed to. Just remember, it doesn't matter how you start in life, but how you finish, and that through Christ all things are possible. To learn more about George Washington Carver, you can get this book written by William J. Federer, George Washington Carver, His Life and Faith in His Own Words. You can find the link in our show notes below. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. And until we meet again, enjoy every day to its fullest. God bless. For comments or questions, you can reach us by email at yappy@post.com. Also, check us out on Twitter at Dorisi and our Facebook pages at Yappy Studio or Louisiana Entertainment Association. Anything and Everything with Dorisi is produced by Your Own Production Incorporated and comes out every week. So come on back and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Pod, and our favorite, Podbean. All links are found in our show notes below.